If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy in the end of November to greet you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, how good the Lord has been to us, and how much we have to be thankful for during these days of the Thanksgiving season. Especially here at Worth Baptist Church, do we feel that we have many things to thank God for. We are closing the greatest year in the history of Worth Baptist Church. Last Sunday, 624 people answered the roll call to study God's Word in our Sunday school. And our Thanksgiving celebration last Sunday morning was one of the most outstanding services that it was ever my privilege to be a part of. The Lord truly blessed, and souls were saved. We had 9 additions to our church during the day. We baptized 9 believers last Sunday night, and record crowds are attending the worship services of Worth Baptist Church. We would invite you and your family to come today and share with us in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, where we have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is carefully supervised, it's thoroughly organized, and the Bible alone is our textbook. We invite you and your family to share with us in Bible study today at 10 o'clock. More than ever before, we believe men need to hear the Word of God. We have many pseudo-answers or false answers in the world today, but we believe the only true answer lies within the framework of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of the living God. And as we teach the Bible from week to week, we experience spiritual growth, and God is blessing in a remarkable way. So if you're looking for a church where the Sunday school majors on the Bible and where the Word of God is the only text, we invite you and your entire family to come and share in Bible study at 10 o'clock today. Our morning worship hour begins at 11, and our evening worship hour at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Jesus meant that man is more than physical. Man is more than just material. Man is spiritual. We believe the Genesis account that teaches us that God created man in His own likeness and in His own image. From out of the dust of the earth, the Bible tells us that God created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, we hold to that truth about the creation. We do not believe in the theory of evolution. We believe God, in the beginning, created all things. And because man is a creature of God, and because man is made in the likeness and image of God, we believe that man needs more than the satisfaction of the physical appetite. Therefore, we emphasize the Word of God to satisfy the spiritual longings of the heart of man. So, as you look today for a church that emphasizes the Bible and believes in the Word of God, we invite you to look at Worth Baptist Church. Our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. From the Pauley Freeway and from I-20 and I-35, you can reach Wilbarger Street from most any section of the city in the matter of only a few moments. Our new location, where we trust to begin building in the spring of the year, is just adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School that is now under construction. That's on Campus Drive, 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 and near the south campus of the Tarrant County Junior College. Now, that location is one of the best locations in the city of Fort Worth. And as we stated a moment ago, we're looking forward to beginning our construction in the early part of the spring of 1976. So we invite you to join with us in prayer. This is a tremendous undertaking. It's a million-dollar project for Worth Baptist Church, and we covet your prayers as we plan in that direction to move to an area where we can build new facilities, adequate facilities, where we can reach many, many more people across the Metroplex and throughout the city of Fort Worth with the gospel of redeeming grace. The objective of Worth Baptist Church is to build a strong New Testament church with Spirit-filled Christians whose outreach is to evangelize the city and the regions beyond. And this we are doing in the city through our local visitation and city evangelism department, and around the world through our more than 75 missionary families. Yes, Worth Baptist Church is a mission-minded church. We believe in missions, and this year, 1975, will see us giving more to missions, to evangelize the world, to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth than ever before. So we covet your prayers as we continue to build for Christ as we build for eternity. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That address again, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Christ Crucified. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3 at verse 15. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in these days of thanksgiving, we lift our voices in thanks for all of the good things of the Lord. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for freedom. We're thankful for a place to live and clothes to wear and food to eat. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the church today and for the Bible. And we thank Thee for our country, and we pray for our president and for our congressmen and for all the leaders of our nation. And I pray today that men all over the world would realize that without the Prince of Peace, there can be no lasting peace upon the earth. So may the hearts of men be turned toward Christ today. In this broadcast, we pray that many hearts might be blessed. We pray for those who are unsaved, that through this message they might come to know Christ as Savior. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are sick and shut in. Especially would we pray for our senior citizens. It would be our prayer that the Holy Spirit would use the message to bless their hearts in a very special way. And our Father, for those who are despondent and who are discouraged and who are ready to give up and feel that they've been defeated, I pray somehow that they might turn to Christ and believe Him and trust Him and obey Him in this hour. I pray that Thou wouldst use the message and the broadcast to the furtherance of the cause of Christ and the salvation of many lost souls. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3 at verse 15, we have these words. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world as the Messiah and as the seed of the woman. Now we believe again that all the Bible is accurate. All the Bible is true. We believe that God's record will stand forever. The Bible testifies of itself that the Word of God is established in heaven forever. This very first mention of the Messiah as the seed of the woman gives to us a launching pad, a starting point to trace other prophecies concerning Christ throughout the Bible. Particularly would we trace those that relate to his sacrificial death upon the cross. We believe that apart from the cross that Christ is no Savior of the world. We believe that it is through the cross and through his death upon the cross that Jesus Christ redeems us and saves us from our sins. When we read Genesis 3:15, we look from that point of view into the future to see some other verses. For example, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 is a commentary on Genesis 3:15. Paul writes in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that are under the law." Now notice that a phrase, "made of a woman." Genesis 3:15 prophesied that he would come in the world as the seed of the woman. Paul says he was made of the woman. God then used 4,000 years of human history to bring to pass the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. Remember this, my friend. Paul said, "When the fullness of the time was come." God is never a day early, and God is never a day late. God is always right on time. Now, there are many other passages that speak of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, that speak of his sacrificial substitutionary death upon the cross. And we do not have time on the broadcast to read them, but let me mention three of them. First, there's Psalm 22. In the 22nd Psalm, there is a graphic description of the crucifixion. And bear in mind that that psalm was written hundreds of years even before Christ was born. And yet it is worded as though Christ himself uttered those words from the cross. And then I point your attention to Isaiah 52, verse 13 through chapter 53. That's the great passional. That's the Holy of Holies. That's the Mount Everest of Old Testament prophecy. For in Isaiah 52, verse 13 through 53, verse 12, the prophet Isaiah, more than 700 years before Christ's birth, gives us another graphic description of the ordeal of the crucifixion. And then when we come to the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four give us the account of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was crucified for the sins of the world. What a remarkable book is the Bible. From beginning to end, it is related. The Old Testament makes a prophecy, and the New Testament fulfills that prophecy. The Word of God is inspired and infallible, and we can believe and do believe everything that's written in the Scripture. Let me ask you, my friend, do you believe God? Do you believe the Word of God? Have you anchored your faith in Jesus Christ? Does the death of Christ mean anything at all to you? What does the death of Jesus Christ on the cross mean to you? Peter said, speaking of Christ, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." Does that mean anything to you? I'll tell you, my friend, it can if you'll simply trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you'll believe that Jesus died for you, that he rose again, he will save you this moment. We believe the crucifixion to be the heart of the gospel and the hallmark of the Christian faith. As we think of the crucifixion, we think of three things basically. Number one, when we think of the crucifixion, we think of the dimension of God's love. I read in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I read in Romans 5:5, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who has been given to us." I read further in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Did you get that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I read in 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, that is, the mercy seat, for our sins. In 1 John 3:1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He doth appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure." Now, all of these verses, together with many, many other verses in the Bible, tell us how much God really loved us, the dimension of the love of God. The poet put it this way, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win, His erring child to reconcile and pardon from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. This, my friend, is the love of God, the dimension of God's love. Who can scale its heights? Who can fathom its depths? No one can measure the love of God for you." Every time we think of the crucifixion, then, we think of how much God loved you. Secondly, when we think of the crucifixion, we think of the dedication of Christ's life. Who ever lived as Christ lived? The Bible says He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." My friend, that tells you something of the dedication of the life of Jesus Christ. Every word that Christ uttered was for your salvation. Every step that Jesus took suggests His dedication to God, and His dedication to the cause for which He came into the world. And that cause was to die on Calvary's cross for you, to redeem your never dying soul. Yes, Jesus Christ was dedicated in His life to one thing. He's put it this way, "For this cause came I into the world." Jesus knew when He was born that He was going to die on the cross. Jesus planned and looked to that moment of Calvary all of His life. And His life speaks of a dedication that no other man on all the earth has ever had. Jesus Christ was so dedicated in His life that the Bible says there was no guile found in His mouth, no bitterness, no sin, no shame, nothing but the pure, spotless, virtuous, and holy attributes of God are seen in the dedicated life of Jesus Christ. In the third place, when we think of the crucifixion, we think of the depth of man's sin. The Bible tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Bible tells us we all were born in sin. The Bible tells us that all men are sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. It is written in the Bible that there is not a good man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. We all are sinners. You might be asking now, "But am I a sinner? I can't think of any horrible thing I've done." Listen, my friend, by nature you're a sinner. You're born in sin. It is your nature to sin against God. If someone were to ask you, who betrayed Jesus Christ? You would answer, Judas Iscariot, and he did. But my friend, you and I betrayed him also, because Judas represents the worst in all of us. If someone were to ask you, who was it who gathered in Pilate's hall mocking the Son of God? Why, you'd say, those Jews and those Romans. Yes, they did. But my friend, you and I were gathered there. They were our representatives mocking the Son of God, crying, crucify him, crying, away with this man. We have no king but Caesar. Yes, your voice and mine heard in that hall that day, mocking Jesus Christ. Do you know who nailed Jesus Christ to the cross? Oh, you say the Roman soldiers did, and that's true. But my friend, your sins and mine nailed him to Calvary's tree. The poet put it this way. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien. Their shouts of crucify appall, with blasphemy between. And of that shouting multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to me, as if I mocked alone. Yes, my friend, your sins and mine nailed him to the cross. Your voice and mine can be heard mocking the Savior. We betrayed him. We joined in crucifying the Son of God. But the first words from the cross that Jesus uttered were a prayer where Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can have forgiveness of your sins today. All you need to do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this moment, wherever you are, God, for Christ's sake, will save you. I have this footnote and I shall be through. We said that we saw in the crucifixion the dimension of God's love, the dedication of Christ's life, and the depths of man's sin. But whatever else we see in the crucifixion, we are blind indeed if we do not see the darling Son of God dying for us that we might live for him. As we leave the broadcast today, we remind you once again of the services of Worth Baptist Church, our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship hour at 7, our location 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. So until we meet you in one of these services, or next Sunday again by radio, we wish you well, and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.